for someone to reach out to you today, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined today as we face the issues. We're talking about a very important subject that I believe that we all need to be familiar with. We're talking about an issue today, porn in our public schools. We're talking about local public schools. This is happening across the nation, but we're concerned about Duval County Public Schools. What's taking place? It's the pornography in the textbooks under the guise of being education, academics, and it's far cry from that. We have today with us Melina Gray. She's talking about this. She's heavily involved in trying to motivate and promote rights and morals and ethics and values for our school board members to do what is right. And Melina, before I ask you another question, I'm looking at the headline. Nearly 90% of the books pulled from Florida schools were removed for porn, inappropriate conduct. Contrary to the liberal narrative, not all Florida school districts have removed these books this year. In fact, more than half have not done so. But when they have pulled the books from the school shelves, the texts were overwhelmingly lewd and pornographic, violent, and otherwise totally inappropriate. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a proponent of, as Christians, as parents, as concerned citizens, we need to recognize what the Word of God says. In Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says that a parent train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not have departed from it. Train up a child in the way, the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, that when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. How we train the kids in our systems today, and our school system, academic system, it should be training them morals and ethics and values. Now I realize that I'm less than 100 years old, but back when I was in school, we had a pledge to the flag every day. Back when I was in school, the teacher would read scripture to us each day. Back when I was in school, we could memorize the Ten Commandments. We could memorize scripture, have scripture reading and prayer pledged to the flag before we got into the academics. We're far cry from that. My most humble opinion, and Melina, you might disagree, that's all right, but I believe that every parent should, this is me, pull that child out of the public school system. Put them in a system of education, of religious education, Christian education, charter school, etc. I'm for the eventual thing taking place in the state of Florida where the state will issue a school voucher for every parent for their child so that parent has the authority to put that child in a school that they choose because it's the parent's responsibility for training that child, not the public school system. I called it, my bride can tell you, I've called it the governmentally controlled schools for the past 60 years. Yeah. It's the governmentally controlled schools that's destroying the morals, ethics, and the values of our kids. And as a result of that, we're seeing a plummet in academics. We're witnessing a major, major, major escalating increase on the over-sexualization of our kids, leading to multitudes of other crimes and things that you see, including sex trafficking. In fact, Melina, I watched the news this morning, and it was Holman that was the head of the DHS, the Border Patrol. of ice. And Holman said that we're having 2,300 abductions every day in America. Mm-hmm. 2,300. That's about 600,000 a year. And most of those are adolescents. 600,000. And that's because of what is taking place. And these kids are brought into that aura as a result of what's being taught in the school system. So, Melina, if you would continue your thoughts in relationship, how many of these books do we have in Duval County Public Schools? What is taking place as of today? What is your analysis of it, and what should be done?
Yeah, I just want to touch on something real quick that you just said about the human trafficking. We have federal laws and state laws in place that make this clear to read. You read a book, you don't need, a CPA once explained to me this theory, you don't have to eat a whole pot of chili to know if it's good or not. You just need one bite.
Mm-hmm.
They are wanting us to read these entire books. Mm-hmm. There's no sense in that. That work has been done for us by the list that is being produced by the FDOE. That list, at the time that I did this, just a few short weeks ago, that list was 361 titles. My oldest daughter and I, we joined forces because I was mad about what I was hearing. I took it as a challenge, mm-hmm. to shut it down when I heard the nonsense, because I saw what was going on. I wanted to be able to say, oh, you're mad about the one. Well, here's the rest of them. And we found 193 titles in Duval County School that matched the recommended removal of the 361 titles. I just realized last night that number has gone up to 700. But here's what happened. When I was looking for these titles and I found the 193 titles in Duval County Public Schools, I found a lot of issues. Number one, the Destiny Follow system, which is like the digital Dewey Decimal system that tells you everywhere the books are. They have been placed into the system. And you tell me if it's obvious or not. If we're, like, for instance, if we're using a date, 1967, you'll have it one, the numerical 1967. When searching for it, you'll find it in maybe two schools. Then if you type O-N-E.N-I-N-E, enter it a different way, you'll find it in other schools in the school. They have intentionally...
They manipulated the system.
It's like hunting Easter eggs. And so, to make that even worse, what happened is when you're on this Destiny Vault, which is a public... The public can access this. This is not some VIP access. You just have to find it. And that's a chore also. But when you find the book that you're looking for that was on that list, but beneath the book are topics that you can click on. If you would like to read other books that cover homosexuality, rape, you know, whatever topic you click on, it brings up a whole other root system of books that are equally, if not as worse, that have not even hit the FDOE book, mm-hmm. or list. What I realized then is that we have only hit the tip of the iceberg. And what I realized is that it doesn't matter if I recruited 1,000 parents to take a book. We're going to have to be, we're only allowed 5 books apiece. And they have to review the books as the policy's being written. They got a 30-day period. I will be dead and gone before we get very far in this. And the problem is, as soon as we remove these books, we haven't stopped the way they're getting in. And we're shoveling, you know, stuff that is coming right back at us. We need to fix those leaks. And I think that I have identified where those leaks are. And the problem comes in when we are allowing nonprofits to donate books to our schools. There's no checks. There's no balances. They're laughing at us in our face.
Yes.
It's they're going undocumented. So this one organization that I came up across because of one of the speaker's utterance, and even though I didn't agree with a thing she said, I do appreciate her speaking because she keyed me in on this. She said, I will provide the funding of the books in the guidance counselor's offices. In other words, her money is going to circumvent the school board's decision, mm-hmm. the parents' wishes, and the state law and the federal law.
Get into a little more detail of that, how this, and it's a particular, and I'm not going to give the name of it on the broadcast, a particular nonprofit organization that's funding by the millions of dollars to purchase books of this nature. Tell us a little more about how that organization works and what they're literally doing.
Yeah, so... Don't say the name of the nonprofit.
Right.
Okay. So the nonprofit, I don't have any facts here, but I pointed the school board member in the right direction and asked the policy to reflect this, because What we need is a separate policy. We're talking about two different issues. We're talking about pornography and subjective. Is it race? You know, Chris, these are two different things. You're going to you're going to have nonpartisan support here. And what I found here was this nonprofit is that I've never even heard of. And that's another problem. We need to know who our school is doing business with. Who are the vendors? Who are we letting have access to our kids? Because we've already found it through Jasmine, how they abuse that.
That's right.
So this organization has a relationship with the school board that was unknown to me, as heavily entrenched as we are. And I found it, and sure enough, I ran the facts on it. $4 million has been raised and given here to Duval County specifically. Keep in mind, this is a website that funds nationally. Anybody from the nation can pick a project and fund it. And how that works is, like, a teacher or administrator, someone with the school, will go onto this website and they'll say, I really need 100 books that have been banned on, let's say, molesting, you know, someone who got molested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Karen, we'll get that out on our help wanted board, and somebody in Oregon's going to fund your project in part or in whole.
Right.
And what they don't pick up, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's going to pick up, and what they don't pick up, ViStar's going to pick up, and what they don't pick up, it's a whole mess of funding. But in since their inception, they've raised $4 million specifically for Duval. They have funded 2,681 teachers here in Duval. 22,000 donors have donated here in Duval, and they funded 1,126 projects for books.
Yes, and if I could jump in for just a moment, keep you stay on that same track. The ones that are it's almost like a GoFundMe.
It is. It's crowdfunding.
It's crowdfunding for specific porn material for teachers that cannot get it in their schools because it's on the off-limits list, and therefore they're circumventing that. Now, Melina, I've got a very serious question.
Yes, sir.
We've got a brand new superintendent of schools that I thought after Dr. Green was removed, because very frankly, and I've said this several times on the air in the past, she was about as worthless as any human being I could think of to run a school board, and she was, Dr. Green. Now that we've got, it's Dr. Grenier, I believe is the name.
Grenier, I think.
That is the new superintendent of schools. Is he knowledgeable of this? How does he stand on this? What is he doing to correct the direction of the ship that's being sailed called the school board?
I don't think he is knowledgeable of this, because the one that I know, the school board member I know and trust with all 100% and have a whole at confidence she's going to do the right thing, she wasn't aware of it until I said. And that's what I'm saying. There's so much of this in our schools. And what the policy that they're trying to improve actively, they didn't even realize was nonsensical, because they didn't understand the size of the root system beneath it. Who would thunk? Who would invest that much money in our kids?
Mm-hmm.
Schools. Traffickers would.
Hold your thought. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go with the question or comment, please.
I'm hoping this signal holds out. Nonetheless, I'm saddened by the fact that these schools have been used to promote so much of that which is perversion. And this goes way, way back, in that when we introduced human sexuality into the classroom, that was a boon for Planned Parenthood. They pushed for it, and they also knew, not for Planning Parenthood, but to increase their number of clients. As we put that human sexuality in the classroom, it's become more and more and more and more gross, perverted, outside the bounds of what God intended between one man, one woman, and one lifetime. Interestingly, you know, the term that's being used often now is hypersexualized. You know, I think Joe Biden's daughter said that her dad had hypersexualized her, you know, taking showers with her, you know, and such as a child, just perversion. And the more we put this in front of children, the more of that activity we'll get. Understand, with the LGBT, they say community, within each of those lifestyles, none procreate except for perhaps the bisexual. However, the numbers have grown. From the boomer generation, I think reporting at 0.02% within that acronym. The Gen Xers, somewhere around 2%. However, your Gen Zers today, more than 20% are claiming to be within that acronym, LGBT. It has been a promotion, a promoted lifestyle, because and the question has been out there for 100 years, you know, is it nurture or nature? Are these innate characteristics? We're being told by some that it's innate and people are just coming out and admitting that which has always been. However, if that's genetically, if that's what has always been, genetically it would be a washout because, of course, there's a lack of procreation. With LGBT, other than the bisexual, they don't procreate. So it's literally a promotion of a lifestyle. And it's sad because
it's a promotion of the lifestyle, the promulgation of the numbers of recruiting through this methodology. I read an article just recently that said the most outstanding thing that's awesome to me to even think about, that right now in our school system, 7th through the 12th graders across the nation identify, 1 out of 3 identify as bisexual, trisexual, blah, 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 all of the different acronyms that could be used for that. And it's because of what they're being told, taught, and indoctrinated with in our educational system. So, Greg, the bottom line is, parents need to wake up. They need to understand what's happening in the public school system and take charge of it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our 4 sons, Greg. Greg is from up in the southern tip of heaven. He's up in northeast Tennessee. Greg, how is the sunshine up there today?
It is absolutely phenomenal. It's another beautiful day here in paradise.
Well, I am so thankful that you took a moment out of your schedule to give us a call on that subject, that issue that is so important for our listeners to understand, to grasp, and to take control of. Greg, thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
Blessed day.
Thank you so much. Melina, when we think about this and what is taking this, we're talking about the highly sexualization of our kids through the porn being taught in the public classrooms. Tell us about the issues of the book challenge and the policies that are now, and what are some of the solutions? We can talk all day about the problem.
Yes, sir.
We can talk all day without digging the hole even deep enough to get to the root of it.
Right.
What are some of the solutions that you recommend to our listeners?
Here's what I recommend. Stop recusing yourself from this being your responsibility because you don't have a child in school.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you would not ignore a child being molested or subjected to human trafficking practices. If it was your neighbor, all kids matter. I don't care the size, their age, their race, their color, their closeness to you. You have got to be involved. You pay taxes. You are funding this. You are now a stakeholder. You have to speak up and not turn blind. Do not be complicit. Do not say, well, it's not true. I've had arguments with people who refuse to believe this because it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And our school board wouldn't do this to us. That's what I'm saying. And I'm arguing with people who are inside the school saying, please don't call me a liar until you open your eyes. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes open. Do not push against our school board members right now, even the ones that we know are going to disappoint us in the end, because right now we have the majority of conservative Christians on that board, and they need to go all gas, no brakes, until they shut this down and shut it down good. Leave no stone unturned.
That's a good point that you bring up there, and it triggers a thought in my mind. What is the possibility, and this would have to take place outside the realm of the law division here, the Chief General Counsel's office, what would be the potentiality of having, say, through Liberty Counsel or others, constitutional attorneys, to draw up a referendum or a recommendation or a bill that could be passed by the City Council or something through the school board that would make it illegal for a teacher to go online and to order a book that is this in order to circumvent the policies for the state of Florida. To circumvent that, the teacher order a book through the GoFundMe process that we talked about with this organizational structure. What is the potentiality in your mind?
It should be in place already.
Yes.
And they just found a loophole. That's what I'm saying. We got to fill it because it is happening. And there is a way to track those people that have done that now by requesting the packing slips from organizations that have donated books. And my thing is, if you cannot produce a receipt and you're going to tell me you don't know where it came from, then it's not yours and we have nothing to challenge. Get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It'd be no different than me coming into this office and I know. Bear with me, and I come in here and I find a bag of cocaine sitting on your floor, and I pick it up as a Dr. Youngblood. What are you doing with this? And you're like, it's not mine. And I'm like, are you sure it's not yours? I'm sure. Well, I'm going to get rid of this. Take it. Get it out of
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
That's how the school board should be treating these books.
It's like the coke in the room in the Capitol, the White House that
yes.
Biden didn't know anything
yes.
about.
It's like we don't make us fight to get things out of our school that we know is illegal, and you can't claim ownership.
And I would even go far enough to say that the regulation should be so modified that if a teacher does that, knowing that the regulation said no, that she is fired immediately.
And ineligible for a pension plan like Absolutely. Somebody else I know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who brought some of this stuff into ours, a lot of it, condoned it, kept us from getting into it. But now that we know and we're digging through, this is an easy fix.
Absolutely.
Fill the holes and don't, no mercy. They know what they've done. They know what they're doing.
I think that every parent, if I could jump in with some Youngblood recommendation, every parent that's listening today, you need to make a telephone call, an email, a text message, or a snail mail letter to the superintendent of schools for Duval County. We're outlining very briefly what is taking place with the porn in the classroom and demanding, politely so, but demanding that the school board the school superintendent stop this circumventing of the policy for the state of Florida of having the illegal material in a classroom. And I call it because it is illegal in the classroom in the state of Florida.
Well, here's the problem. They're mandatory reporters, and they've been put on notice, so now who's in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
The school board, the parents, are the ones, the perpetrators.
Yes.
I think we all have something to risk, so let's just stop the nonsense and do what we got to do.
Do it.
And if they want to file a lawsuit or challenge a book, bring it on.
Bring it on, absolutely. Melina, is there a correlation in your mind or in your research with these types of books in the schools and the arrest of teachers and administrators from Douglas Anderson School of Arts?
Yes, sir, there is. Unfortunately, Douglas Anderson School of the Arts is one of the ones that appeared most. Second to that was Atlantic Coast High School, Mandarin. A lot of these little charter schools and stuff, that's ones that were constant hits coming back. They carried the most of it. What concerns me with this is that, you know, the United States is the largest consumer of human trafficking at this point. Florida ranks third in the nation. Jacksonville ranks fourth in the state. We have a serious problem, and we have to open our eyes to it. This is not a theory. It's not a conspiracy. We have documented cases through the FDLE that we are a hot spot for it. Now, how do predators select their prey? They don't go by the good-looking ones or the most attractive ones. They want the most vulnerable ones.
Yes.
That's the ones that come from a loosely, like, they may be in poverty. They may have a single family. They may have a family that kids are, you know, with drugs and stuff, or they're accessible to them. That's the kids that they pick. Now, what I want to say, without discrediting any of this stuff that I'm telling you about, I don't think kids are accessing their libraries like we think they are. I'd be very interested to see how many times these books have gotten checked out. What I think this is a test to see how vigilant we are being.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to tolerate? What are we going to allow? How strong are we going to fight against their tactics? Because this is in the stuff that I have here, I would not read in front of you.
Yes.
Not because I'm, you know, just so saintly. It's embarrassing. It would
absolutely.
It would traumatize me.
Absolutely.
It would traumatize you.
Absolutely.
And anybody who reads it, this is irrefutably the truth. This is pornography. This has no literary value. This is smut. This is meant for somebody else, not us.
And the focus being on this meaning the sexualization of our kids in school, it's been promulgated by the LGBTQ agenda. It's being promulgated by the CRT, being promulgated by the DEI. It's being promulgated by the Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Those are the promulgators of this type of material.
Yeah.
And it means, the bottom line is, it means more revenue for them as a result of the production of the activity of the kids being sexualized.
Sure. And if I was a pedophile, hypothetically, where would I go to go work?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to work behind a desk. if I was a pedophile, where would I work? Where the pickings are there. And I promise you, I can't prove it, but it feels like there's some avenue, some back door that these people know where they're going to have the greatest access to our children. And it's time to stop allowing that. You don't get that many perverts coming out of one school.
That's right.
There's a correlation there.
Correlation.
And you can study it later, but right now, shut it down and quit allowing them to handle these things administratively. If you have a teacher that is accused of sexually assaulting a kid, you don't put it in a manila file folder and sit down with a group of five people and determine if this man actually did it. That's how we end up with this man who's been molesting these kids for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Off with their heads. No, you call the authorities and let them hold that.
Right.
This in-house stuff that they do, the underreporting of crimes, this is not intended
to cover up.
This is not intended to protect adults. We cannot allow our schools to be sanctuary cities for perverts, and that's what they have become. That's what it looks like. School board has a lot of work to do. Let's cut the nonsense. Get rid of this. Seal the gaps. Fill the holes, whatever, and move on with your work. This is nonsense. Them dragging their feet and not doing what's right and taking a stand is what's got them. Got us here. It is what it is.
A very simple question that may not have a simple answer. To what degree can the city council pass rules, regulations that would help with this scenario?
At this point in time, I don't think the city council can see anything with them, but what they can do is make sure our public libraries are following that same protocol. A child should not have to go into a public library and be able to bring in a bottle of vodka with them and read a pornography book.
Absolutely.
But at this point, it kind of seems like they can, because there is a link through the Duval County website to the public library. Trust me, I'm looking at it. I'm sounding the alarm. This is known.
Well, I know a city councilman that you know very well.
I know.
That I think
he will not get dinner until.
That's right.
No, he's going to do the right thing.
That's
just
right.
That there is a house. There's law moving through the House right now. Mm-hmm. Now, just because the law is passed, does the school board always adopt it? History's told us no.
Right.
So that I hope it passed. I pray for it does. It's going through the Senate now. But Justin,
tell us that number.
That I believe it's Senate Bill 1692.
And very briefly, our time's about gone. Summarize, what does that bill do?
It clarifies what is harmful for material for these people that try to put an artsy twist on it to make it seem like it's a benefit, a help-only book. First of all, and let me just say, these people that are making these recommendations and these evaluations, way out of the scope of their job. They need to get reeled back in and realize you're a guidance counselor. You're not
God.
You're not sex crimes, and you're not God, and your solutions are terrible.
Absolutely. Thank you, Melina, coming in today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Singing songs of